This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
3-2, swung on, a pop foul back here.
Ow! 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 It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, a 4 hour KM to 2 a.m. Dial 888-808-1019 if you'd like to get on the line one time. There's plenty to talk about. There's plenty to do tonight. And we'll try to do it all. I mean, not much has changed from yesterday outside of Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones. We'll talk about Daniel Jones. I think Daniel Jones has a great opportunity in Indy to win the starting job. And of course, right, of course that'll happen. Another Gettleman guy. And actually, I don't want to go down that road. I got to stick to what I was thinking about for my open. And, you know, I just heard in the update Marco talk about the Yankees pivoting. We'll get to the Yankees pivoting. We will get to what Brian Cashman said. But again, I remind you, these are team sports. This isn't Tiger Woods on a golf course. This isn't tennis. This isn't boxing. These are professional sports played by grown men who have families to feed, who have their own individual legacies and conquests and desires to win. And teams have to pivot. You just heard your Brooklyn Nets. I mean, they're obviously tanking, but they're a much more entertaining tank with a healthy Cam Thomas. They had to pivot without Cam Thomas for months, it seemed. You know, they got Clowney back and, you know, Cam Johnson missed some time. A lot of different guys, but you just saw a healthy, hungry, hustling Brooklyn Nets team go toe-to-toe with the number one team in the East, and they made you believe that they could win the game. You know, they had to pivot for some time in their tanking without their best player. How about Cam Thomas? He's something, huh? I bet you he cooks the Knicks. Put a pin in that one. When the Nets play the Knicks next, Cam Thomas has a thing for playing against the Knickerbockers. That should be a good one. But, yeah, the Devils tonight. How about the Devils pivoting without Jack Hughes, right? It took some time to get over it. Little bit of a losing streak. Then the Devils come out. Jesper Bratt. The Bratman is on this team. Check your watch. It's Timo time. Timo Myers is on this team. Nico Hischier, Paul Cotter is on this team. They have other guys on the team. The Devils just had to adjust. And you know what? Jack's brother, Luke Hughes, is on the team. And the Devils get a good win, and it seems like they're riding the ship. And they're not folding. They're pivoting without the face of the franchise, one of their star players. 888-808-1019. Oh, the Knicks that I was just talking about. I should have just went straight to the Knicks. Jalen Brunson is down. And two nights ago, you saw OG Anunoby. You saw Karl Anthony Towns. You saw a different Josh Hart, Mikal Bridges, Miles McBride. You saw them pivot, shoot the ball, play better defense without their captain, without their leader. They did not throw in the towel. They're not waving the white flag. It's just a pivot. Okay, we don't have that guy, but we still have a team. And we still have a mission and a goal. We still have to go out and win. We're not folding. And so now we get to, late here on Tuesday night, where I think we've had enough time to process the Gerrit Cole news. I have. I knew it Friday. When I was live Friday, and my same producer who's here now broke the news about the MRIs, just said, no. Because second year in a row, you just knew. Okay, Cole ramps up again and gets going. He's 34, and okay, it's official. Tommy John. How does the team pivot? Well, you might want to ask one eternal GM of the New York Yankees, Brian Cashman, what the Yankees are going to do. And I'll play what Meredith Marakovic got out of Cashman, and then I'll react to it, and then I'll take your calls at 888-808-1019, and we'll talk all around it. Let's play Brian Cashman talking about, with this 2 weeks left here, right? And I was looking at it like, baseball starts in a week. The Tokyo series is a week from today. Like, we're here. The teams are set. Obviously, young guys are getting sent down and rosters are getting refined. But let's hear what Cashman had to say with, about less than 2 weeks here, or just about 2 weeks here until opening day. What he can do, now that Gerrit Cole is down.
Just 2.5 weeks about until the season begins. How difficult is it at this point in time to try to pursue something outside? And you look at perhaps the prospects involved or a financial commitment that could be involved. You look at the financial commitment. Will that at all be an issue in evaluating?
Well, first time of year is definitely more problematic. Usually not until after the draft is when things start to really open up, where you have a much larger inventory you potentially could access outside the organization. So when from a general manager's chair, you're always hopeful that you can avoid injury bugs to any aspect of your roster. You want to avoid them, obviously, February, March, April, May, because again, going to marketplaces is more difficult. But there's non-roster invites that might not make the clubs. There's waiver claims. There's a lot of different other ways to do it. And so we've gone through those processes before. Hopefully we can run into some good things that could help us. And if not, we'll rely on what we have.
Okay, there you have it, folks. He talked about the marketplace and there not being much that they could do. And what Cashman likes to do. Cashman likes to find DFAs. He likes to find random guys like Luke Weaver or Tim Hill or Tim Mazza. He likes to find those type of guys. But I expect him to find another arm or two that can get starts. He also spoke about losing Chase Hampton, JT Brubaker getting hit in the ribs, like Luis Gil, Gerrit Cole. It's not just Gerrit Cole. But when you look at this rotation now, it's Max Fried, it's Carlos Rodon, it's Clark Schmidt, who pitched today. We'll talk about Clark Schmidt at some point. Marcus Stroman, who everybody wanted traded and out of here, you're going to need him. And Will Warren, you're up, young man. And I bet you we see Carlos Cookie Carrasco. So Cashman is going to do what he can, but I also know he's not going to show his hand. I know he's not going to let Meredith Marakovic or, Yankee fans on March 11th watching the Yes Network know anything. And they're not looking to spend still. So for all the people talking about, hey, that $27 million you're getting for Gerrit Cole, go out and spend it. On what? Lance Lynn? Why? There's no need to panic like that, right? There's no need to pivot and go say, let's go get one of these free agents that nobody in baseball wanted right now. Let the season start and let's see what you got. But let's hear another thing from Cashman that kind of gave me pause. I think we just have different definitions of the phrase. Go ahead and play it, Paul.
What was your initial reaction when you heard that it was indeed worst case scenario and that he was going to require Tommy John surgery?
When he left here in Tampa, I fully expected that Tommy John was coming. He went through a very successful rehab, as we all know, last year. But to have the episode to repeat itself and facing the same similar type downtime, and with all the information that Chris Amott had provided me and our medical team, on the ground here, the trainers and our field staff, it just felt like this is going to need more of an intervention than just a rehab. This is going to need more likely just Tommy John surgery. So at that point, I was prepared for the worst. A little slight hope maybe Eltrage would come in with a different recommendation, but that wasn't the case.
Okay, hope week continues, but prepared for the worst. When you say you're prepared for the worst as the general manager of the team, does that mean you're prepared to just be sad, or you're prepared and you have a plan? 888-808-101. Like, prepared for the worst is like, oh, I anticipated this. I have a move. I've got a bullet in the chamber. I'm ready to pull the trigger on something. I think we have two different definitions. I think prepared for the worst is just accepting that Gerrit Cole is out for a year and a half, maybe more. But me, like, prepare for the worst. If it's me, if I'm preparing for, if WFAN fired me tonight, I'm prepared for the worst. I know what I'm doing as soon as I get up tomorrow. I know what I'm doing next week. I know what I'm doing the months after. I'm prepared for the worst. Batman. Batman is prepared for the worst if the Justice League turns against him. Batman has a plan for a way to kill every member of the Justice League. He's got a little kryptonite tuck just in case Clark Kent feels some type of way and wants to use his super strength. That's being prepared for the worst. Being prepared for the worst and just accepting the worst is just like, this is not being prepared. That's just that's doing nothing. 888-808-1019. That's where we'll start. Yankee fans weigh in. I know people are going to call about how much money the Yankees made last year with ticket sales and the suites. I know people are going to call about the worth of the franchise and the luxury tax and the $27 million insurance that they're getting from Gerrit Cole. But what I'm getting from Brian Cashman is, hey, this is who we have. We're going to start the season and take a wait-and-see approach and hope that, like last year, the rotation is better than we expected. Hope that, like last year, we have a Rookie of the Year candidate emerge in Will Warren like Luis Heal did. Hope that, like last year, we have a low ERA, a strong bullpen, and a lineup that can hit and win enough games where you barely miss Gerrit Cole. But obviously, when you think of going for like a Sandy Alcantara or a Dylan Cease or whoever, like those moves aren't happening right now. No team is trading those guys right now. That's closer to the deadline. I did see that the deadline is July 31st, so we'll have to wait for that. And I'd rather wait for that. I understand. You wait for that, you make a move when you see what this team is, and if you feel like this team is one of the better teams in the American League and they're just another starter away because you don't want to pitch Carlos Rodon in a potential game two, then you go get that starter at the deadline. But I still haven't forgot about Brian Cashman, Aaron Boone, and the Yankees pitching DJ LeMahieu as a third base option. And he's down. He's hurt. They still need another bat with Stanton hurt. I feel like, you know, you could figure that out in the next 2 weeks. There's got to be some kind of hitter. Like, if you brought in J.D. Davis last year in the middle of the season, like, you could figure that out, right? Still not forgetting about you needing another bat in the lineup. 888-808-1019. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan till 2 a.m. Call us up. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Now here's Chino. One on, two out. Pitch is swung on and drilled. The deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. The Fan Chino with two outs in the bottom of the ninth.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Let me see. They're gonna go far.
The Yanks are out of that paper. So F my life. Keith McPherson on The Fan. The Yankees are not out of paper. They're not out of loot. It's okay. I lean into the internet. I just was on ranting yesterday about how the season's not over. If you want to jump off the bandwagon, jump off the bandwagon. Just don't expect them to do anything right now. They're not going to overreact. They're not going to show their hand. But I do trust that Cashman is thinking and working and plotting and saying, hey, we lost an ace. We need another one. We lost an ace. We need another, like, actual guy that can pitch in the postseason. If the postseason started today, which, you know, clearly hypothetical in March, there's so many months before we get to October, but this is what you do on Sports Talk Radio. You know, who's pitching game 1, 2, 3 for the Yankees? I'm in here watching Clark Schmidt right now get rocked in his first spring training start against the Orioles. Yeah, it's just spring training, but I'm not punting on a season. I'm too old for that. I don't have that many more seasons left. Kyle is in Pennsylvania. Kyle, you're first. Go for it.
Hey, how you doing tonight? I just wanted to say I appreciate everything you do and talk about. You're really detailed, and I appreciate it.
Thanks.
So I just wanted to talk about the little clip you had from Brian Cashman when he said he prepared for the worst. I think he was prepared for the worst. He knew something was going on, and I think we just keep moving on to the next step, whatever that may be.
Yeah, I kind of give him credit for pivoting and going to Max Fried is like having a little bit of a thought like, hey, Cole missed last year. We need another guy. We didn't get Soto.
Right.
Get the best pitcher on the market, and we did.
That's right. So that's my take on that that little comment there on Brian Cashman. And also I want to talk about the Knicks just real quick. What do you think about P.J. Tucker? I'm not too sure. He has a 10-day contract. Does he would he be able to go into the playoffs with the Knicks, or is this just like a 10-day thing with P.J. Tucker? Because I feel like he brings a lot. Maybe he's not playing on the court, but from last night when he was getting the players hyped, and he was hyped every play, it seemed like. It seems like he could be a factor in the playoffs, playing the game or not. So I don't know a majority of
10 days are just 10 days, and they expire. They're you know, trial runs. He might just be here to check Draymond, you know? You might just get to Saturday and have him on the court just to go nose-to-nose with Draymond.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Okay. And two other things real quick. I don't know if you've seen the Nets game where the Cavs came back.
I did.
Was crazy. I thought the Nets had it in the bag.
I knew they didn't.
And then
that was like OKC, the OKC game.
And the Bucks, that came down to the wire. I think the Bucks were down like 5 or something with like 20 seconds left, and they took the lead, and then the Pacers got a 4-point play to win the game. I don't know if you've seen that or heard about that.
I don't watch the Farmers play too much. Thanks for the call, Kyle. 888-808-1019. I definitely don't like to watch Giannis. Giannis is like my least favorite player to watch. I can't stand his game. Bull in a China shop. Anyway, I don't want to talk about Giannis, and I didn't see that game. I see the score, though. 115-114, Pacers win. That might be your 4-5 matchup in these NBA playoffs coming soon. Big East tournament coming soon. We'll talk about that. We'll talk basketball. Let's stay on the baseball stuff. Let's stay on Brian Cashman. Let's stay on being prepared for the worst. Let's stay on the options that the Yankees have. Let's stay on. This is it, man. Wait and see approach. How does that make you feel? What are your thoughts? Would you sign a guy like Lance Lynn? I don't think so. I think you're going to see Cashman do what he does. He always has these Cashman finds. There's going to be some guy that we're not thinking of that gets DFA'd, that gets cut this week, and the Yankees bring him in. Might be a veteran name, might be a young guy, and I expect them to be working on that. Mordecai is in Passaic on the Fan. What's up, bro?
What up, Keith? Thanks for coming to my school today.
Yeah, man, that was so much fun. Thanks for having me. Was it cool? Did you guys talk about it after? What's one thing that you remembered or you took from the presentation I did at the school today?
Just the whole thing, like when you're talking about like your childhood, how like you said, like you just came down from like nothing and you built yourself up to go work for WFAN.
Yeah, you could do it, man. If I could do it, anybody could do it. It's a long road, but if you believe in yourself, trust in God, anything is possible. Thanks for calling. You said you would, right? So what do you got for us tonight? What are you thinking?
Do you think Will Warren could have the same impact as Luis Gil?
I do. I definitely do because, you know, Luis Gil last year came out of nowhere. He was coming off of Tommy John. We saw him two seasons before, and he looked like he had some type of, like, you know, way about him. But there was no way we expected him to be Rookie of the Year. No way we expected him to break, El Duque's rookie strikeout record in a game. I actually called that game. You know, Will Warren has looked better in camp. Everybody talks about him having nasty stuff. And I think the experience that he had last year in those starts, they didn't go his way. I think it's good to get that stuff out of the way. And now he's thrust in. And there was people, I think I listened to Big Mac saying, like, you know, get Marcus Stroman out of here and put Will Warren in the rotation. Well, be careful what you wish for. He's in the rotation and Marcus Stroman is still here. So let's see it.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good one.
Thanks, man. 888-808-1019. So, yeah, I'm on a little bit of a speaking tour. going to high schools. And, you know, I mean, I do this just anyway, like not in high schools, whether it's LinkedIn or Instagram or emails, any young guys that reach out that want advice or tips or, you know, just have questions about the industry or college or what I did after college, I just try to share, inspire or retire, and, you know, try and help the next person out. So today I went to the Torah Academy of Bergen County in Hackensack. And or T-neck rather, and it was a good time. I think I had more fun than everybody because I got to stand up and present a PowerPoint and, you know, talk about my life from high school to, you know, a bunch of high schoolers, my life from high school to college to after college to making it on WFAN. And then we played a little bit of a game of Scattergories, and it was all baseball questions and related. And I'm usually terrible at trivia. I'm usually not good at that type of stuff, but I was able to beat them kids. I was able to beat all the kids. So shout out to the young guys that I was with today. The YouTube video will come out in a week or so, maybe after I come back from spring training. 888-808-1019. Jacob is in Fairhaven on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Really appreciate you having me on. Just wanted to talk about Cashman's approach to everything, like you were saying, really agree with a lot of the points you were making. You know, it probably makes sense for them to kind of wait this period out, wait and see how everything goes down in the early season. But I want to also ask you about, you know, obviously we signed Max Fried in this offseason, and Cashman seems to have a history of signing these big-name guys for really big contracts, and I don't know if it's Cashman or if it's just our luck, but we always just seems that they don't pan out, or not necessarily that they don't pan out, but that they don't...
Most of these big contracts don't pan out. Most of these big contracts don't work. In baseball, you get paid for what you've done, not what you're going to do. And to get these guys, you have to overextend. I was screaming when they said 8 years for Max Fried. I'm like, 8 years? But when I heard that the Red Sox and the Blue Jays were in on him, I'm like, that's what they had to do to play keep away from division rivals. And it is some bad luck. Maybe it's a curse on the Yankees. I don't know. But I know what you're thinking. Jacoby Ellsbury. You know, I know what you're thinking. Look at Garrett Cole. Garrett Cole's contract. Look where we're at right now. We're about to, like, it's crazy. Garrett Cole's about to miss this whole year and probably most of next year. And there's no guarantee that he comes back at age 36 and is we don't know what he's going to be. We can hope.
Yeah. Of course.
So I don't know, man. Fingers crossed. Let's hope we have some young talent develop and they make some moves to get some talented young starting pitcher from elsewhere. Thanks for the call, bro. 888-808-1019. I don't know. Is it luck or is it bad luck? Is it just the Yankees? It's everybody. These long contracts don't always work out. You know, the only one that's guaranteed to work out, no risk at all, is Juan Soto. You know, 15 years of Juan Soto, probably 2 to 4 World Series wins, couple MVPs, All-Star every single year, maybe 3 or 4 Gold Gloves in right field. 15 years of Juan Soto, worth every single penny. Don't have to worry about that. But the rest of these big contracts in baseball, they're risky. And you take those risks hoping to win one time. And unfortunately here, you sign Max Fried to pair with Garrett Cole, thinking that, hey, we can get back to the World Series, overpay him. We're in a win-now window. The American League is weak. And if we get into a series again with the Dodgers, at least we have this 1-2 punch of Cole and Fried. Well, plans change. The best laid plans of mice and men, like, they'll pivot at some point. I don't know when, before the deadline. It's just not now. You know, Brian Cashman said very little is available in the pitching marketplace at this time of year, said the Yankees will rely on what we have while exploring outside opportunities. Luxury tax penalties make it less likely they will add from outside. And I get it. Why would you pay a luxury tax penalty for Lance Lynn? Lance Lynn was on this team. Lance Lynn just throws fastballs. Lance Lynn is older. I'd rather see a young guy, a random. What's on your head, bro? What is that? You all right? Okay. Is it a Band-Aid?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not Ash Wednesday. I'm like, what is this on your forehead, bro? You all right? Now you got to speak. Now you got to...
Good job, Keith. What I was going to say was that I also think Cashman might be thinking that, like, me, is it worth it for the Yankees as a business to just throw out a random contract?
No.
And if he doesn't think that it's worth it for a specific player, if he doesn't think that player is going to put them over the top, then why is he going to waste Hal's money?
It might as well be his money. He's not doing it. I know that he's not doing it. I know that they're not going to panic. I know that they're not going to do a move to appease fans right now, and that's fine. It is what it is. Joel Sherman reported the MLB trade deadline will be the traditional July 31st at 6 p.m. this year. In last CBA, commissioner's office has the right to move it around, and it was, for example, July 30th last year, August 1st in 2023. So another thing with Cashman, you know he loves to wait until that buzzer sounds. So we might not get our next ace of this rotation or our game two starter in this rotation until, you know, 5:30 p.m. on July 31st. So buckle in and strap into the roller coaster ride and prepare for that. It could get bumpy. It could get a little rocky. Gary in Waterbury back on the Fan. Go for it, bro.
McFair the Cavalier.
You're.
Yeah. And the AL is so whack. They're going to have to prove everything before they can do it, before that we can do it. You know, we've been there before. We'll always be there. And I'm not shedding no tears for Gerrit Cole. And, yo, Judge is a beast. You know, Judge can carry a team. Mm-hmm. Judge can carry any team to the finish line.
Well, maybe not. He can carry the team, but not which finish line. Maybe right before the finish line, we drop pop ups and strike out.
We haven't been, we haven't been there in a minute. We have not been.
It's a great point, Gary. I look at the captain, Aaron Judge, and I say, more pressure on you, right? And whose quote was, pressure is a privilege? Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole down. It's on you, Judge. You can't have a slow start. You can't exactly. Slump. You got to hit. You got to carry.
Exactly. You're going to let me do some Giants. Yo, I want the Giants to draft a QB and let them start the whole way. Mm. We got nothing to lose. The division, we cannot win the division.
A lot of games to lose. You got a head coach and a GM to lose.
But we can't win the division. Yo, Philly, Washington, even Dallas, they're way better than us. I just draft a rookie QB, let him get his lumps.
Yeah, but
you know that's what we gotta do.
You can ruin a guy that way. You know that, right? Like, if you have a rookie QB on a fourth-place team, getting his ass kicked a whole season, that could be it. He could never actually materialize. He could be, you could stunt his growth. He could be, just...
That's all right. Well, we got to take the risk because you never know. Jaden Daniels did it. You never know.
That's different.
You definitely
Jaden
never
Daniels
know.
Jaden Daniels is a Heisman Trophy winner. Jaden Daniels came into a situation where, like, they had talent around him. They made moves, and it was a complete new regime, new head coach, new owner, new GM. Like, people act like Jaden Daniels did that himself. Like, he came into a situation that was available for him to, like, succeed. And he did it, but it wasn't like he did it alone. He had Terry McLaurin to throw the ball to. He had Brian Robinson Jr., Austin Eckler in the backfield. Their offensive line wasn't bad. They added Zach Ertz. They had people on defense. They had some players. They drafted well too, outside of just Jaden Daniels. So you have to hit on a lot of things around the quarterback. And if the quarterback is good, then you'll succeed. Thanks for the call, Gary. 888-808-1019. I don't think anybody had them going from picking number two overall to the NFC Championship. I give Jaden Daniels a ton of credit. Yeah, he made a lot of plays and carried that offense for the most part, but he wasn't alone. There were veterans around him, good coaches, and just a good, healthy organization that was ready for a quarterback. I don't look at the Giants as a good, healthy organization that's just ready for a quarterback to start game one, week one, and definitely not have that kind of success. Cam Ward, Shador Sanders, Jackson Dart, nah. 888. 808-1019. John is in Bayonne. We're still talking Yankees on the Fan.
Of course, Keith. What else are we going to talk about? Into football.
The Giants and start the... Nah, I don't know. We'll get there.
Well, listen, it got a week and a half and we start the season. But it's deja vu. Last year, the same thing happened. Cole was down. Okay, now we got Max. So he'll be a fine ace, I think so. I mean, better than Rodon last year. Or all right, when it came down. Then, and my man Will Warren turns out to be the freak of like, because they said he's got the same mechanics as Michael King. Well, see what he does. Listen, we don't have to panic. We're the New York Yankees. Okay? We win.
Yep.
Okay? When our back's against the wall, everybody, oh, there goes the season. Cole's down. Oh, Judge is down. This one's down. Stanton's down. What do we keep on doing? We keep
on
winning.
Up. Somebody will That's rise it. Up. They're not going to fold. The fans aren't going to fold. That place is going to be packed. It's going to be loud. We are going to will them to wins. I don't care who's out there.
Well, you look at it this year. I mean, you got Goldschmidt at first. You got Jazz at second. Volpe at short. And we had the same thing last year with who's third base. I don't know.
It's going to be Cabrera. It's going to be Oswaldo Cabrera. And I hope that he takes a step forward.
I think so, too. Then the outfield, I'm still saying get Dominguez out of the left. Put Bellinger there. Put Dominguez in center.
They're going to learn the hard way. They're going to learn. They might. Ball will find you. Like, they might learn the hard way. Like, Dominguez might embarrass himself in left field on national television, Yankee Stadium opening day, whether it's a ball dropping in fair territory to his right or whether he's chasing a ball to the left that he can't get to, the Yankees are going to leave him there in left field. I 2 weeks ago, I was saying, please, when Trent Grisham comes back, get him some reps in left field. Can we at least see Dominguez in center field so that we can stop seeing bloopers? There was another one today, and it's like they don't care. They want him to be a left fielder so they can just leave him there. The player that they're willing to move around the outfield is Cody Bellinger. They're not willing to move Trent Grisham.
Right. And when it comes down to Doug, Bernie Williams is saying, yeah, he's got talent, but he's got to learn, and it's hard. I said it the last time. When you're
it
left
is hard,
fielder,
but they're looking at him, John, and they're saying, you're athletic, you're fast, you're strong, you're young, figure it out. This is the pros. And I'm looking at him saying, he came up playing center field, and if people are reporting that he's not good at either position, then that's not good. But I want to see it at least. Can I see it in spring training before these games are done? Can I see the kid make some plays in center field? Maybe, you know, at the least, it'll just boost his confidence that, hey, I can catch the ball. I can make some plays, and then put him back in left.
And when it comes down to it, you had Jeter come up, shortstop, okay? You had Bernie Williams come up, center field. They didn't play with their positions. This is what they were told to be. This is what they were brought up to be. And that's what they stayed to be. And that's taken a lot of pressure on this guy mentally because he has to learn a new position. But he wants to be at the plate, hit lefty and righty. And he can't concentrate because he's worried about the outfield where the ball's flying out to.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of pressure on him, John. He's 22 years old. He changed his jersey number from 89 to 24. Like, he's ready to be this number one prospect. But I'm sure he's got a ton of thoughts in his head. Like you said, switch hitting. I don't think they're going to ask him to lead off. But they're going to make him play left field. And he hasn't had a confident, like, spring training in left field. There's still some things to learn. And I was saying it when we got to February 27th. I was on the Fan saying, we're a month out. He cannot learn how to play left field in a month. Thanks for the call, John. 888-808-1019. But this is what the Yankees do. There's a such thing called Yankees arrogance. There's a such thing as the Yankees leading the league and playing guys out of position. They just think that they can put Rougned Odor at third base. They just think that Gleyber Torres can be a shortstop. They just think that they can throw IKF in center field left. Like, they, I don't know why. I don't know what analytics, what beep, boop, beep, what computer tells them that, oh, it'll work fine. Yeah, trade for Jazz. He'll play third base if Gleyber doesn't want to, but they are willing to go out there and risk it and try it, and they're about to do it again. Dominguez is going to be in left field. I'm done trying to, you know, bang the table for him to be in center field. They're not doing it. They have Bellinger, they have Trent Grisham, and they have some weird allegiance to Trent Grisham that he's only a left fielder. I'd tell his ass, get some reps in left field. That's what we need you to do on this team for the $5.5 million, $6 million. And Dominguez, our future, right? A guy that you passed on trading for years. We need him to get comfortable in center field because when Belly's gone, when Grisham's gone, this guy's going to be the center fielder of the future. But what the hell do I know? I'm on the radio at 10:45 at night on the Fan, talking to fans, talking to people online. Keith McPherson, KM to 2 a.m. We got to take a break. When we come back, who's starting on opening day in the Bronx? Do we know that answer? I have an answer. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Ball game over. American League Championship Series over. Yankees win.
York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Okay, let's get it, man. 888-808-1019. We're talking about the Yankees. We're talking about the rotation, the pitching depth, or lack thereof, and Brian Cashman basically having a wait-and-see approach as we're this close to the season, and he was prepared for the worst, meaning he was prepared for Cole to be out and, you know, them to just go with what they have. They're not going to sign anyone because of the luxury tax. They're not going to do anything crazy, anything to show their hand. If something happens, it'll be, you know, somebody getting cut, DFA'd, let go by another team, and the Yankees scooping them up. And I expect that to happen. That's more of Cashman's style. Before we went to break, I said, who's going to start opening day? Marcus Stroman. Back-to-back years for the Long Island kid. Wearing the Nueva New York, the Nueva York Silky. He's got the New York do-rag under his Yankee cap. I don't know if, has he been wearing the do-rag under his cap? I don't know if he's wearing it in spring training, but he might wear it for opening day again. There was a tweet from my guy Brian Hoke, the Hokey Pokey. I got to hit Hoke to see when I can bring him on the Fan. Maybe after spring training, because I don't have any. I have another Sunday show coming up this week, but I'm not on. Like, I'd rather bring guests on early. Like, I'm not asking anybody to come on at 11 p.m., but I'll hit Hoke. I'll have Hoke come on after, maybe leading up to opening day. But Hoke put out, Aaron Boone said, it might not line up for Max Fried to be the opening day starter just because of when Gerrit Cole went down and how everyone is slotted. He said, we'll continue to work through this with an announcement expected in the next few days. Well, you don't have Nestor Cortez, who, shout out to Nasty Nestor, he was down for whatever. I do not want Carlos Rodon starting on opening day. The vibes would just be lame, bro, if they're not already lame. I just do not want Rodon to get that ball. Clark Schmidt, as I'm, you know, watching Clark Schmidt right now, I don't know. Like, opening day, if opening day can't, I don't know, maybe it's Stroman. I vote Stroman. Just back-to-back days for the New York kid that wanted to be a Yankee. A guy that said he was working on staying present and grounded as folks were talking about trading him, as folks were talking about, oh, he's worn out as well, going, why isn't he in camp? What's he doing? I hate this guy. You might see Marcus Stroman take the ball again, depending on how he's slotted, how he's lined up in his preparation to pitch on Thursday, March 27th. This is coming up fast. 888-808-1019. Bob is in Woodmere on the Fan. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Keith. How's it doing?
Good, man. Hanging out.
I'm doing good. I'm just curious. You keep saying, like, last night and tonight, how you're pushing through. You're too old. You don't got many seasons left. You don't think the Yankees are going to make any switches. But let's say, just like out of nowhere, Cole got injured. Let's say Judge gets injured and Volpe gets injured.
Why would we say that? Why would we say that?
Well, I want to know what would the Yanks do then? Because the same way Cole came out of nowhere, this could come out of nowhere.
Then we forfeit the season, Bob. 888-808-1019. Well, thanks for the call. Why are we doing that? We just lost Cole, bro. Why would you play like that? Why do we have to hypothetically lose our starting MVP right fielder and our promising shortstop that we literally need to turn into a major league hitter this year? No. How about no one else gets hurt the rest of the year? We have Stanton down. We have Luis Gil down. Why do we have to talk about potential? I don't even like putting that negative energy out into the universe. There's no need. John is in Sussex County. John, you're on the Fan. Sorry.
Hey, what's up, Keith? First-time caller, long-time listener. One of the names me and my friends were floating around for trading for was Sandy Alcantara. What do you think of him?
Yeah, he's coming back. The Marlins don't want to spend any money. They're never going to pay him. I'd love to see that go down. I don't think it goes down, but if it does, maybe it's right before the deadline.
That's what I was thinking too, because it's obviously not going to be right before the season starts. But
I'll keep a close eye on him. Thanks for the call. I'll keep a close eye on him when he's facing that Mets lineup, and if he's mowing down the Mets, I'm gonna text Cashman like, bro, get it done. Micah is in Englewood on the Fan. Before we get to the next break and update, Micah, you're live. Go for it.
Hey, Keith. First, I just wanted to thank you for coming to my school today. It was very good listening to you and your journey to WFN.
Not a bad day of school, right? I guess I came through and just made the school day a little faster. And thank you guys. It was more fun for me. Getting to do that is a dream come true. Like motivational speaking, you know, giving back, that type of stuff, and letting you guys get to know me a little more than what you can on the radio. So again, I appreciate you guys for reaching out and bringing me in. What you got for us tonight?
I want to talk about Kodai Senga and the Mets pitching rotation. Besides for the fact that Minaya got injured and Montas. Senga's 2023 season was really good. Like, he put up a 2.98 ERA over, like, 165 innings. Like, even just him as a pitcher, he finished 7th in Rookie of the Year. 7th in Cy Young, 2nd in Rookie of the Year. Like, he was really good just himself. And losing Minaya and Montas just makes him so much more valuable to his Mets team going into the season. So, I just want to help you understand how important Kodai Senga is going to be for this Mets team.
Oh, he's very important. Thanks for the call, Mike. I'll say this about Goes Fork. Maybe we'll come back and we'll play Yusuke Kamiji and the new hit single Goes Fork for Kodai Senga. I guess he's got to warm up to that song with the like LED lights flickering at Citi Field. I mean, Kodai Senga was an all-star. Kodai Senga was the guy that you missed last year. And he was gone for a while. He came back. He was gone again. And he came back in the postseason. He can be dirty. He can be filthy. And at the top of that rotation, with Minaya out for some time, with Montas out, with Clay Holmes transitioning, David Peterson, I think, is going to be solid. But Kodai Senga is paid to be the guy. You know, we had some issues with his, you know, rest as far as like 6 days or whatever. But, you know, I think he can be nasty. If he is nasty at the top of the Mets rotation paired with that lineup and them hitting, then you're in good shape. If he is sketchy, if he is not what we you know, the best of him, what we expect him to be, then it might be it might be a long season. Like, he didn't pitch at all last year. So, like, you really need him to put it together. And there's a lot riding on Kodai Senga. Maybe we'll get that that Ghost Fork song queued up. That's the new OMG. 888-808-1019. 1 hour down, 3 hours to go. KM to 2 a.m. returns right after this.